guys, it's Autumn Rain with Beyond the Record, and today I have R&B singer and former NFL player Laren Wong here with me today. How are you doing today, Laren?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
Of course. I'm super excited to talk about your new EP. So I just want to know, how did you get started with music in general?
It's funny, I never thought of myself as coming from a musical family because growing up, I didn't stay in the house with my dad, but I definitely got the music from that side of the family. It just started with like me seeing my grandpa going to shows of his. He does jazz, or he did jazz when he was alive. And then just having like instruments and stuff just around, you know, it wasn't ever too directly pushed on me, but it was just around and it was kind of the thing to do. So I just naturally picked it up.
Cool. That's awesome. I think sometimes, you know, when you're growing up, like you see things and it's kind of crazy how it goes into your adulthood and how prominent like those moments can be, you know, like you said, like music wasn't pushed on you, but like now you're 100% in it. So That's really cool. So I want to know, so you went from playing in the NFL to now you're in the studio making songs, making albums. So how can you just let us know how your career in the NFL began and how it led you to music?
Okay. So after Northwestern, I was picked up as an undrafted free agent to the Seahawks. Mm-hmm. And then I was there pretty much for a good part of a year. And then I had got released from there, and then I went to New York. Or East Rutherford, Jersey, rather. you know all about that, huh?
Yeah.
But yeah, I went to Jersey and then played for the Giants for like a game or two. And then went to Canada after that. And it seemed like I was doing too much at that point, personally. Mm-hmm. It just was a lot. And then I had a period back home where I had to do some soul searching, you know, that was like something that I've been doing my whole life. Mm-hmm. And I had to pivot, you know, I had to figure out something else. The whole time, like when I was in college, you know how to have like the job fairs and shit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Our career fairs. We used to have like Deloitte and all them other companies. And it was cool. It was like, it sounded fun. It sounded lucrative for one, but it just like none of them really ever interested me that much, you know, than like doing the music. So I said, instead of looking for a traditional type of role like that, I'm just going to pursue this music. It was calling me.
That's cool. So how is it that being a professional athlete helps you with your music career? Because I know, like, just being, I'm not a professional athlete, but I played sports in high school. It definitely helped me in my professional career being on time, learning a lot of discipline. So how did those skills transfer into your music career, if they did at all?
Yeah, definitely. You know, they say you want to do it. I forgot what the saying is, but pretty much you need a team if you're trying to do anything at a certain level, you know? Mm-hmm. So it taught me teamwork. You know, there's it's a million different personalities on it. I mean, 100 different personalities on any given team. So it's taught you how to work within amongst all of those people to achieve shit, you know, put differences aside, things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like you said, professionalism, punctuality, learning how to be places and where you got to be, learning how to like follow orders, learning how to, it just a lot of things get ingrained into you that I never really, it's funny answering all these questions about like, how has it affected me? It's like, I just be living, you know, it's rare. I just be thinking about like, dang, how have my experiences shaped how I'm going about this, you know? But yeah, it's dope. It's dope. Leadership. I'm very grateful for the things that it taught me. Yeah. Performance. At the end, I look at it like this. You talk to Floyd Mayweather, one of the like peak performance athletes, right? Mm-hmm. You talk to him and then you talk to Shaka Khan.
Yeah.
It's almost the same type of energy, you know,
yeah.
Where it's like, I'm the one, No, I'm the one. When I'm doing my thing, I'm the one. So I just think that's the performer, whether whatever you're doing, it's performance. So just peak performance.
I agree. I 100% agree. I remember when some interview Magnus Onion did, I don't want to say maybe a year or two ago, could have been longer than that, when she had a deal with Nike and she was doing a bunch of different workouts and stuff. And she said, I'm an athlete, I'm a rapper, but when I get up on that stage, all this dancing and stuff, I'm an athlete, I can do all those things. And I think that a lot of times, music to me, at least, music and culture and sports go hand in hand. It's all stories, all narratives, just in different platforms. So in different mediums. So I just think that, I definitely see the transition between the two and why it makes so much sense for you.
For sure. Mm-hmm. I've always seen it as sports, music, fashion. That's the Venn diagram.
Yeah.
That's the sports, music, fashion.
Agreed.
Culturally.
So that being that you're from the Bay Area, who are some of your favorite Bay Area artists, but also who are some of the artists that you feel shaped your career and you pursuing this?
Favorite Bay Area artists currently or just of all time?
All time. Yeah.
All time. Okay. Look, this one, y'all might be too young to know this one. Y'all know George Duke.
Okay.
Yeah, see, y'all might know about George Duke. Who else? Shit. I'm gonna just start from the back. Sly and Family Stone. Mm-hmm. Obviously. Shit, Green Day.
Yes.
I guess I'll be now. People don't know Green Day is from the Bay Area. Shit, who else? I think Metallica is from the Bay too. That's some funny shit.
Mm.
Even Journey. Remember Journey?
Yes.
I think Journey's from the Bay too.
That's cool.
But yeah, obviously the rap and the R&B and the, hip hop, Mac Dre, E-40, the classics. Mm-hmm. The staples, fixtures. Who else? Kehlani. I love Kehlani. Oh. Her new record going crazy.
Yeah.
That folded. Ooh, that's a slap. I've been running that one back. That's a joint for sure.
Yes.
Obviously Raj. Rex Life Raj, of course. He's very hard. Who else? Jay Anthony. Going crazy. Jay Anthony's really good. Shit. 10-Piece Tone. My partner from Richmond, he's going crazy. He's doing his thing. I really check out his visuals too. He's going crazy. That's a lot of people. Shit, Spencer, Boss Life, Big Spence. He got songs with Too Short. They doing the homage to the legends right now. Larry June.
Yeah,
Larry June. It's too much. I'm just privileged to be from the Bay. It's a lot of inspiration.
Definitely. We were talking off camera about I love the Bay too. One of my best friends is from the Bay. I'm there probably at least three or four times a year, maybe from Jersey. And I just love the area. It's a really great culture spot that I feel is definitely not underground for sure, but I don't think it gets as much hype as it should for all the accomplishments people and artists from the Bay have done for music. So
that's the whole Bay Area narrative amongst us, where it's
mm-hmm.
y'all really know what it is, but for some reason, it's a different discussion. People just got better marketing or whatever.
Okay. So how do you incorporate the unique Bay Area sound into your own music? Or is it something that it's kind of just instilled in you?
It's funny. I remember when I first started putting music out, or just even now to this day, they call me a West Coast R&B artist. So I have a question to you. What does that mean to you? In your opinion, what distinguishes a West Coast R&B artist from any other R&B artist?
I would say only if if you're borrowing sounds from other Bay Area artists or West Coast artists in general. I feel like specifically, I think that's the only thing really.
That's tough because Brandy's from like LA, and who hasn't Brandy inspired and isn't taken from her? You feel what I'm saying?
No, absolutely. She's literally the vocal Bible, like for a reason.
So all of R&B is West Coast R&B.
Yeah.
I'm kind of confused sometimes. But to answer your question, that was kind of a tangent. To answer your question, just as you know, a lot of people don't know this, but I'm a producer at heart. I started producing first before singing is like the newest tool in my tool belt, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy that people know me for it now. I'm very thankful for that. But I started out producing rap, jazz, instruments, all that. So I just always loved the Bay Area style, aesthetic, sonically, you know, with the production. So I try to incorporate certain elements. I feel like it's the music that you grew up listening to. So that's like my default rhythm sometimes. I'd be having to get outside the box. But yeah, it just shows up. I can't help it.
I see. Okay, that makes sense. That totally makes sense because I think it's something just like hard to escape anyway. And I feel like R&B, at least to me, doesn't have a specific region really. Because like you said, you know, Brandy is from LA. So it's kind of like, I don't really, when I think about R&B, I don't think that way. But it's different when I think about rap.
Right.
You know, like I feel very distinct between the two coasts for a reason.
I agree.
Right. So you said that you started off producing, but I know that you also play several instruments as well that you self-taught. So what are some instruments that you play and which was the hardest to learn out of all of them?
The hardest instruments to learn. I'm sorry, could you repeat the question?
Yeah, no problem. So I was like, what instruments do you play and which one was the hardest to learn out of all of them?
Okay, so I play it's funny because people like to differentiate between the acoustic and electric guitar, but like, I feel like in terms of playing it, it's the same, but mm-hmm. I'm just going to make it sound like two guitars. So it sounds like I play more than I do. So I play the acoustic guitar. I play the electric guitar. Bass guitar. I have a 6-string bass right here. I play that as well. I play the piano. I play the ukulele. And I play the bassoon.
Wow. Oh my God, that's a lot.
And I could play the trumpet too. I don't have one, but I could play it if I get my hands on one.
Which one did you learn first?
Trumpet.
Okay.
Yeah, that was like beginning band, sixth grade, first time really getting my hands on an instrument was sixth grade in the class. And then I realized like after a year of being in, it's like, this is not the type of music I'm trying to do. Yeah, I thought music was supposed to be free and, you know, fun. This is some bullshit.
Oh my God. I was never a part of like band. Actually, that's a lie. I was a part of band briefly. But I did chorus and then I played the violin a little bit, okay. The viola, really, really, really the uh-huh. viola. But yeah, I the same thing for me because I grew up listening to R&B and hip hop, and those instruments are used in those songs as well. But it's just to me, the music we were playing in class was not the music I was listening to at home and it didn't mesh. Oh, I was like, what is this?
At all.
Which of the instruments do you think was the hardest to learn how to play though, out of all of them?
To learn, I'm gonna say the guitar.
Guitar? Okay.
Yeah, I'm gonna say the guitar just because like your hands, like you really got to get calloused up and, you know, like mm-hmm. build your hand strength. So I vividly remember that me struggling with that, like, fuck, fingers hurt. My fingers hurt.
My sister plays the, she learned how to play the acoustic guitar and she was trying to teach me, and 100%, like, that's really, really hard to play.
Yeah, I've been doing it for so long. So like when I try and teach people now, it's like, I have understanding, because that still stuck with me. Like, I remember that pain and that frustration, like, damn.
Yeah, for sure. Like, learning anything is, like, especially instruments, like, other instruments I learned how to play, like, yeah, like, they're all different difficulties, for sure. Like, it's not an easy thing to do. But that's really dope. Like, do you play instruments for your own music too? Like when you're producing tracks of your own or for other artists?
Yeah. Yeah. Started playing, just singing on my own production, you know, with the instruments and everything. And then shout out my boy Jay Anthony, because he brought me into some sessions and I got my first placement as like a producer, you know, playing the guitar and all the instruments on a Tone Stiff album. So shout out Tone too.
And he's from Jersey. So
yeah, shout out Tone.
Love that. So I want to go into your live performance experience as well. So I learned that you were an opener for Danny Lee for Velour Tour. So how was that overall experience and what did you take from it?
Man, so the Danny Lee experience was just like very validating. We went on like a 13, 14 city tour across the country, nationwide, you know what I mean? And what I feel like I appreciated most about it was we were unknown to her audience. You know, we were openers, kind of a late additions as well. So it's like, they really don't know what's up. And I feel like deep down, I feel like I rocked every show just off the blind date.
Ooh.
Yeah. So it gave me a lot of confidence. Like, I can only imagine if I'm headlining, you know, these are my fans and my audience, you know?
Yeah.
But just even like the conversion rate, if you will, like after the show, I made a point, you know, I feel like they gave us a lot of leeway. So I was doing a lot up there, promoting the merchandise booth. They wasn't even charging us on a tour. Like, it was love. But I took a whole moment to like pull out your phones, follow up, Laren Wong, spelled out my name. Every show I was getting like 1,000 followers every show doing that.
Oh.
So just learning, like, it was a great learning experience. We sold a lot of merch, you know. It was dope.
Love that. No, that's great. That's why I love coming to concerts early and festivals. Like, I never try to miss like the people that are in the beginning, because I learn about so many new artists from there. So that's super dope. And I love that you had such a great experience on tour with her. Oh, so yeah. Let's get into your latest project though, Fourth and Long. So how does that football metaphor represent your current musical journey?
So Fourth and Long, as you know, as a football fan, like you said, Fourth and Long is like a very critical situation in the game. Yeah. It's like your back is against the wall. You got to make a move, and it got to be the best move. So that's where I'm at right now in my music, like career wise, like I my next move has to be my best move. It's critical.
Yeah, no, that's why I really love that title too, that you're able to mesh like two really big parts of your life as well. And yeah, I really enjoyed this EP. And into my next question, I see that there's like some conflict that you deal with throughout this whole project. There's some like vulnerability and accountability, like in the song No Idea, which is one of my favorites, but also like the longing and curiosity in 7 days. So what's the message that you want to send to fans in this project?
I want to send the message of duality, because I feel like a lot of times people try and fight certain sides of themselves and present themselves a certain way. Yeah, it's just me taking a step in like vulnerability. Like I'm not always certain type of ways how people just, yeah, just it's okay to be yourself. We naturally, as humans, we are contradictory sometimes. I have a lot of these love songs, but then I'm over here talking about this. See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's it's okay. This is part of me working through certain contradictions of being okay. We're humans.
Yeah. No, definitely. Especially like talking about, you know, your past refreshing before music and everything. And I think that even though like all of us are definitely not professional athletes, but can express like the conflict you have, especially as an artist, when you have several interests and everything and able to mesh them together and how they're able to work for your greater good. And like you said, just continuing being yourself. So into my next question I have for you is about 7 Days, which is one of my favorite songs on the EP. Then you sample Craig David's iconic 7 Days as well. So what was your inspiration in using this track on the EP?
7 Days was just one of my favorite songs always, you know. I had got inspired to do it because it had just came on. I was listening to it with my buddy Vic, and he was like, you should redo this. So I replayed the guitar, sent it to the Eastie Boys, and they sent it back, and we just did our thing on it. Just tried to make a larynized version of it.
Yeah, no, and I loved it. It was great. Do you have a personal favorite on the project?
My favorite, personally, is Out the Frame.
Go on. Yeah.
Yeah, Out the Frame for sure. And over is the second close.
Okay, and that's what you close it with, so.
Yeah.
So
funny story about that. Funny story about the 7 Days and Over. I didn't realize this at the time of making it, but Fourth and Long is very UK inspired. It's very British.
Really? Yeah.
Because Craig David is from out there.
Yes. Yeah.
And Over is like, that's the whole swag of it. It's like the garage, you know, UK.
Mm-hmm.
So that's damn near half the project.
Yeah, I think a lot of like UK R&B and UK rap is also like seeming into like American R&B and rap. Like it's a lot of, I see a lot of collaborations between the two. So
mm-hmm.
I love it. I know that you just dropped this project, but I want to know, what can fans expect from you next? Like whether it's visuals, live performances, what can we expect?
You can expect new music, of course, you know, some singles here, project there, you know, live performance here. We're going to Seattle soon though. You know, I just got some cameras, so you could expect a multi-format visuals. You know, we're taking a different approach with it now.
Okay. No, yeah. I love that. Like, your visuals even now, too, are really good. Like, follow you on Instagram and everything. So I think that that's something that your fans definitely can relate to as well and are inspired by. So I love that.
For sure.
So how can fans stay connected with you to learn about all the new happenings that you have going on?
They can follow up just about anywhere they can follow. Laren Wong, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, Snapchat, TikTok, everywhere. I'm at Reddit, Discord, I'm everywhere.
Awesome. I love that. So thank you. Thank you so much for speaking with me today, Laren. It was so nice getting to know you.
Thank you.